AKA Social Geek Radio time.
Woohoo! I was actually just looking at our new cover photo on our Facebook page. I like that.
Yeah, I was playing with that earlier. I saw that you were fooling around with your different Facebook pages, and it's like, oh, man, I got to go do something with Social Geek Radio. I couldn't think of what it was, and I remembered that bus. So I like that. I thought it was pretty good.
That is cool.
Yeah. So the bus has pulled into the station. It's time for our show, and I see our guests are coming into the chat room. And, God, it seems like it was a month ago that I went to the rodeo, and you and Kate and your dad. I know, it's like this has been a really long week, but I listened to the show. You guys did great. I don't know what happened that you lost Kate there for a while. Wasn't that weird?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure you heard. I couldn't figure out if it was
right.
Our line of job or her line of job, but it all worked out.
Oh, yeah. It worked out. She got back on. So, and I always love listening to it, and my husband was listening to it, and it's like, she's calling in from Australia. Isn't that really cool?
That's cool.
Awesome.
It's like, yeah, we're going big time. We have buses and we have international guests. And who knows where Social Geek Radio will go next?
I don't know. I don't know. So, and you had a great co-host, your dad. I thought he did a fabulous job.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll let him come back and talk one day.
Oh, that would be nice.
I think he's listening. I hope he didn't hear that.
I see the word typing, so somebody's going to be typing. And we've got our online director, Dana Lopez, is in the chat room, so I'm sure he's going to keep things under control. I don't think we're going to see Laurie tonight in our chat room and participating because I think she had some dental work done, so she's probably relaxing at home. But before we get into, we were going to talk about social media development and the fun SlideShare presentation that you put together some time ago in the real-time economy. Facebook. Catch us up on Facebook and what's going on. And should everybody be, if they've got business pages, should they be converting over to the timeline and finding a really cool cover photo?
I don't know that you necessarily have to. I would say you have to convert over right now. What I would suggest is to at least convert it over so that you can see it before you publish it, so that you can get used to it before it's forced upon you. Because it's the way that you can sort of just preview what it's going to look like.
Right.
And, you know, work with your cover photo and everything else so that you are ready to go. So I definitely recommend that. I don't recommend just saying, I'm not going to deal with it at all until March 30th rolls around, and then all of a sudden it switches over and you're totally lost. So I would do that. Yeah, and the cover photo, actually, I was talking to Jen McDonald through Facebook today about the cover photo because I did finally, I had just a generic welcome mat for my cover photo for staying in social. And I was like, I want to have something different, but the policies that they put on the cover photos are so strict. I've been really hesitant as to what I wanted to put up there because, like, you can't have a call to action. You can't put any prices. You can't put anything that would be otherwise found in the About section of the page. And it's like, well, gee whiz, you know, what on earth do you put there besides just a pretty picture?
Right.
I don't know how you really know. I was saying to Jen, it would be nice if there was, like, a way to submit yours for approval before, you know, they go around and start shutting down pages because you're not complying with the policies. But, you know, so I've been trying to really, like, see what other businesses are doing and read as many posts as I can just to find out sort of what people are doing. But I saw, like, you know, I was conscious of even putting in the words, like, social media online because I was like, well, you can find that in the About section. But, I saw HubSpot's page, and they have, their marketing software.
Right.
There. So I was like, okay, well, if HubSpot did it, maybe I'm safe.
Yeah, but they're HubSpot. They probably get by with a lot before you can.
But, yeah, there's actually a lot of cool features. And I feel like when it first came, I played with it really quick, and I think I was able to pinpoint some of the features, but I'm slowly learning more. Like, for example, I think earlier this week I realized that with the three apps that you have across the top, in addition to the one that's photos, you can actually change the image that's displayed for the application.
Yeah, so, and I'm not sure how to do that yet. I'm going to have to play around with that.
It's actually, they made it pretty simple. Once you, over on the right-hand side where you hit the drop-down arrow to see the rest of the applications below the top four, once you hit that button, then the edit features are enabled for all of them. And then in the upper right-hand corner, then you'll get your little pencil. And then you have lots of options. And one of them will say edit settings. And there you can change the name of the application. And then you can change the picture. Right there.
Cool. I'm going to have to play with that.
Yeah. So it's really like kind of creating your own like second website almost with the ability to customize all of that.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, you know, because you can change it whenever you want, how many people are going to, you know, change it a lot?
Yeah.
You know, and then there's no, I guess, right or wrong. Do you change it once a week? Do you not change it?
Yeah.
And I've been looking at the different pages as well. Like, have you seen Arma Dietrich? I like what they
care.
Go to Arma Dietrich and look at it. She's got her key. I like that, her key team in there. It's like, okay, how did she do that in that cover photo?
Yeah.
I have to figure that one out. So there's so many different things you can do, and might as well take advantage of that space.
Yeah, I've heard recommendations of switching it out much more frequently than you would have just your normal page picture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. My individual page picture has been like that a year now since
I know. Mine has been maybe more than that. But, I did change it to the mustache thing the other day. But I changed it back when I was doing social media training for the folks in Switzerland. And I knew I was going to be showing my Facebook page. I'm like, I should probably remove the Lorax mustache. But
we have fun with it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but just get the ability to change the pictures on the third-party app. I'm actually really surprised that they did that because that really removes the branding from those third-party app providers.
Okay, now explain that for everybody.
Because, let's say the app I installed was from Involver. Usually, the default picture for the application would have been the Involver logo.
Right.
And then the tab would have said, it doesn't really matter what the tab name is. But now that you can change that, what that little picture is, you can make it block. So then Involver loses sort of that branding of being very prominent. Of, you know, and you might not even be able to tell that it's an Involver app.
Lots, I don't know, and in Facebook, I think we've talked about this before, is the worst. It's just like you get used to it, and then there's a change, and then you get used to it, and then there's a change. So it will adjust.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty cool.
It gets my vote this time.
It gets your vote, you said?
Yeah.
Oh. Cool.
There's a new Instar. What is it? Did you hear about that one?
I saw it mentioned today, but I haven't looked at it.
Basically, you can put pages and people that you subscribe to their posts into lists, which you could always do. The only difference I can see is that you can let people subscribe to your list. So a lot of these interest lists could become very public. So, for example, if somebody created a social media interest list and happened to put either me or my business page on there or Facial Peak Radio business page on there, and then they open that up for subscribers, then anyone who subscribes to their list will now receive the updates from our pages in their newsfeed. So it's much more of an opportunity for your posts and your pages to be spread more across Facebook.
I'm going to have to. Now, so, you know, and AK, I'm looking at the chat, and they're saying that you've got a little echo. So can you, maybe if we play with the volume, you might be able to, you might not echo.
Is it better now? Okay, yeah, because I heard it. I could hear it too, but I don't hear it anymore.
Oh, no, it says it's good now. Okay, so the interest list, is that for the individual pages or for the business pages?
It's for, well, you cannot create an interest list as a business page. You can only create a list as you as a person.
Okay.
And put the posts of both people and business pages onto your list.
Okay.
I'm going to play with that.
I'm not looking at that right now. It's too confusing.
Okay. Too much to focus on.
Too much to focus on. Good. So I have, anybody that's listening in tonight, and if they came in through the Blog Talk Radio Show site, they saw that I had linked or that we linked your social media developments in the real-time economy slideshare presentation. And what you and I talked about, I thought would be pretty cool, is some, you've got all these platforms, you've got some wonderful slideshare presentations up. Why don't we spend tonight just walking through it? Because even though you have a lot of content on there, we pretty much know what it is that you're saying. We can just walk through it as it, you were presenting. And who do you want to share with who you presented this to?
Yes, this is actually a really challenging one for me. Usually when I'm asked to do a presentation, it's like, can you present on Google Places like I did for you guys? Or can I present on Facebook or whatever the case may be. But this one was for the executives at the Baltimore Sun, which is sort of our biggest newspaper that owns tons of different newspapers in our area here in Baltimore, Maryland. And the marketing director who I was talking to before the presentation, she wanted me to, cater it more towards, how they would use it, but not only as journalists, but as journalists and editors and the video guys. So I had this huge mixed bag audience, and she really wanted me to focus on not so much specific sites, but more of sort of where we are and where social media is going and basically why they should care. So this was probably one of my most challenging presentations, but I got some good feedback from it, so I think it turned out all right. But, so it's sort of, when you picked this one out, I was like, oh, that's good, because I haven't gone back through that one in a really long time to sort of see what I was even thinking when I did it.
Okay. Well, it is a good one. I don't know what prompted me to go to your slideshare presentations. I think you had uploaded something new. So then I started scrolling through all of them. And you have a lot. You've got a lot up there.
I have so many more I need to add. I don't know why I stopped doing it for a while, but I guess when I was training on LinkedIn last week and I wanted to show how the SlideShare application pulls into LinkedIn, I didn't want my last one to be from like 3 months ago. So I was like, oh, I got to quickly upload some new ones. I have some. I was actually looking through. I don't often go and look at the statistics on these, but I had one from, it was like the first one I ever uploaded. It had like 1,300 views, and I was like, that's not a lot compared to some of the ones on here, but I was like, that felt like a lot to me. I was like,
that is a lot.
I wish I could know who those people were. But.
Yeah, there is no way of finding out who, you see the number of views, but there's no way of tracking.
Yeah, well, I think there's like a pro version, and if you pay for the pro version, I think you can make it so people have to fill out contact information before they can view it, or I don't know if it's before viewing or before downloading, but I don't know. I don't like to pay for social media stuff like that.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah. You know, we're both bad at that.
Yeah.
So let's walk through the presentation. The first one or two slides just, it's about social media and social networks and blogs in general. But I think what I loved was your cartoon in the very beginning. If it wasn't for blogs, podcasts, and Twitter, I never know what's going on. And it's funny. I know it's funny to a lot of people who think, yeah, really? And then I'm thinking, that's so true.
I know. That's how I get all of my information in the world. Like, I don't, I literally, I'm like, and if somebody tells me something, like I'm speaking to somebody in person in real life, I don't believe them unless I can go to Twitter or Facebook and I can get it backed up and see that lots of other people are talking about it.
That's right. It gets validated. So,
yeah.
It's a great cartoon, and it's very true.
Yeah. Yes, everybody got to stare at that while they were all coming in and getting situated. So that was fun. Yeah, and then, it's just kind of a generic sort of about social media. And I guess the thing I talked about with this one was, you can't go anywhere now without running, like having something social media related basically smack you in the face, whether it's even something like a QR code that you see on a bus stop or, you know, somebody, you know, the Facebook icon or logo on somebody's brochure wherever you're going, or, you know, it's like everywhere. And even probably last year at this time, I can't remember specifically, but it was not like that. You know, it was still, like, it was getting popular, but it wasn't so, like, you knock you down, smack you in the face, it's everywhere as it is now.
So. True, true. I was on the shuttle for the airport to get to my car, and sitting on the little shuttle bus, there's a big sign in the bus that says, don't forget to check in to the Park and Fly on Foursquare, which I already had. I was getting ready to check back in to go get my car, and it said, you know, there's a newbie special, and then there was, it said the 20th check-in, you get 8th check-in, you get 20% off of your next visit. And I thought, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And I check in, it's like, boom, there, I got that special. It popped
yeah.
up. So it's like, you get 20% off. It's like, all right, bonus. So, yeah.
What did you happen to see my picture on Facebook today that on my cup at Starbucks, they actually wrote Mayor AK?
No, I saw your cup, but I didn't see, I saw something about it was nice to be the mayor. I didn't look
yeah.
close enough because I was looking at it on my phone. So let me.
Yeah, it says, well, it's funny because I think one of
oh,
the.
Oh, yes, Mayor AK. There it is.
Yeah.
On
yeah. One of the baristas at Starbucks came outside one day, and my dad was sitting there with us. He said something like, you know, shoot the mayor here. Or, he said, do you know about Foursquare? And the guy was like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, well, shoot the mayor. And the guy kind of looked at him like he had four heads. And then he went inside and told one of the other baristas, and then he told one of the other ones. And we go there. We walk the dogs up there every morning. And this one girl was like, why do they call you the mayor? So I showed her the whole thing on my phone. So now it's like a big thing in there. When I come in, they're writing it on the cup, and they're calling me mayor. And so they went from nobody knowing anything about it. I still don't think they actually really understand it, but it's nice to feel special when I go in.
Oh, sure. So, well, I know you're going to have to take a few extra minutes. I'm sure they're very busy. And do
yeah.
a quick social media, you know, training. Here, let me show you.
I know. I figured I'd like, print out one of my presentations and just hand it to them real quick and be like, just look over this at your next meeting and let your manager know if she needs me to help her.
There you go. Cool.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Dad's saying the echo is back. Is it better now?
Well, see, I don't hear it, so I can't help them or help you. Because you sound just as
sometimes, but not
might be
a little bit.
So I think with my headset, that one day I had a problem with the way I was holding my head, which is bizarre, but that was it.
Maybe I'll lean closer to the window.
mean, don't fall
is it
out.
Better now? I think it's better now. I can't hear it now, at least.
I don't hear it, and I don't see where they're chatting about it. So we'll just keep on.
All right.
So.
Yes, so then on this slide number 3, I know the reason I showed this was because I think for my target audience, a lot of them still thought that most time or most things that people were going to do online was to do search. And even, you know, email was still a big thing to go on and do. But this the study, or I can't remember who did it, but was showing that, you know, 22.5% of the top, you know, time spent on the top places online or the top destinations online with social networks and blogs. So even if it's like what you are consumed in all the time, maybe email and maybe search, that doesn't mean that that's what your target audience is consumed in doing. They are, or at least somebody is out there on social networks and blogs. So you have to sort of remove yourself from what you do and think about where your target audience is spending time online.
Very good. I was trying to see, I'm trying to monitor the chat and the tweets that are keep popping up. So you have here, you have online games, email, portals, videos, movies, search, and some messaging. So what about online games? Do you have many attendees in your presentations ask about online games and
it's so weird because, you know, the most of the time when somebody does bring up online games, it's because they're saying, how do I block those from showing up in my newsfeed?
Really?
Yeah, like especially like the Facebook games and
okay, those games, yeah.
You know, but I mean, I guess online games here would also be like Words with Friends and that kind of stuff, since you can play online as well as your mobile phone. So, you know, I do Words with Friends. I don't do Angry Birds.
Well, think about PlayStation, and I mean, how many years? It's been many years since my kids have lived at home. I hate to say that, but it has. And I remember coming upstairs, probably 5-6 years ago, coming upstairs and hearing my son talk to somebody. It's like, who are you talking to? You're sitting in the room by yourself with a headset on. And he said, oh, blah, 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 somebody in, you know, Germany or Asia or whatever, because he was playing on PlayStation, and he was playing against them, and they were talking. So that's social media. You know, we forget. It's been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Kids know how to use it.
Yeah, they can. So, I mean, they might not be talking to their own friends, but if they can be talking to people from around the world, they might be only talking about killing people, but... You know.
Well, this is true. But I did mention, there was a family I was talking to this week that I was visiting, and I said, that was my son, you know, talking to somebody else, and they said, oh, what game was he playing? I don't know. He was killing other people, but, you know, now where is he today? He is in the Air Force as a first lieutenant.
There you go.
That's, you know, that's what he liked. That was his field. Mm-hmm. That's the direction he went in. He was strategic about it.
As long as it goes in that direction, right?
Yes, yes.
It can go in many different directions. That was a good one.
That's right. But that's where he, their interest, whether it, his interest in the military came from the games or whether the games, I don't know, you know, who knows the domino effect, but hey, he's better for it. I love the graphic that you have on slide 4, which I've used before, the, you know, 60 seconds on the web.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, you know, it really is a good, clear visual of what goes on. On the web.
I would love to sort of like see what the stats are now, because I did this presentation, I guess in November, I can't remember exactly, but and it was an older image, although it's just recently sort of made its way around the web. I guess these things sort of go in waves. It's like people see them for a while and then they die down and somebody finds it, and if the right person finds it, then all of a sudden everybody's sharing it again. But, yeah, I would love to. I know it is an old graphic, though. Not old, but probably last year old. I would love to see, you know, how this has changed.
I think there is a newer one, and I'm sure we can find it on Infographic, but I've seen an update to this. But I think this one is it's very clear. How many domains are registered. It's just amazing. Yeah. How many emails. You know what? We always forget, too, that we talk about all different social platforms, but we forget about emails.
Yeah.
So look at how many million emails are sent. And 60 seconds. 60 seconds.
I think I contribute to at least half of that.
A
billion emails.
Yeah, I probably do too, and I try not to. I remember that one day saying, you busted me on all the emails I was sending. It's like, one more question.
Oh, no. I think now if we look at this, or the new one, if we can find it, probably has, or I'm sure it has Pinterest on it, if it's that recent.
Are you in, and I know you're doing it as I did this week, I think I told 3 new people about Pinterest. I got all excited. Oh, let me show you what I do with it. Here's my smartphone. Look, I went grocery shopping and I wanted to make a certain dish and all I had to do was pull it up on Pinterest. That was on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I get lingering inquiries either from my Pinterest presentation that I put up on SlideShare or from that news story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd say maybe, you know, once every other day or so I'll get this desperate plea in my email, you know, is it still available? Can I please have a Pinterest invite? I've been looking for somebody to give me one forever. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I wish you would bow me sooner. Please take one. Give them to your friends.
You know, and I'm surprised that it's not, it's still invite only. Google Plus was like that, but I don't think Google Plus, Maybe it seemed like it was forever for a lot of people who couldn't get on. It wasn't public. For me, it seems like Pinterest is lingering longer to go public.
Well, it might be A, they're doing so well, so maybe there's no rush.
Mm-hmm.
And it could also be that that's part of the allure, that it's so exclusive for those people. So once people do get on, you know, they do think, oh, my gosh, this is so cool, I'm finally on. So, you know, maybe they'll never go all the way full.
Could be, or it could be that we've been on, we're really, you know, the beginning of those that got on, so it seems like this is old news to us. What's next? We've been using Pinterest for months now. There must be something else coming out.
I don't know. I'm still pretty hooked on Pinterest. And
yes.
What's interesting about that is I'm really falling more and more out of love with, if you could even say I was in love with Google Plus.
Yeah. I don't use it like I should or have before. Now, I want to start using Google Hangout a lot more. I want to start having some Hangout meetings and things like that because I think there's a lot of value there. But, yeah, I don't tend to I forget about Google Plus.
Yeah. I saw today that I think there's a Google Chrome extension for Google Plus Hangouts that's supposed to help people that are blind communicate via Google Hangouts because not only can you hear the people speaking, but the chat box feature is also read out loud.
Oh.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of fun.
I didn't know that. I'm looking at your slide share, and I was going to ask, you know, if we jump to slide 7, where you're talking about seniors. How did that get into that presentation?
Well, because one of the reasons why I was talking to the newspaper about social media was because they're, you know, progressing more and more towards going digital, and they're not having a lot of buy-in from the editors and the journalists and so forth that seniors and are going to be wanting to read their information online. So there's sort of this clash within the company that those people are saying, you know, we need to still be as dedicated to the printed news. So I wanted to, she asked me if I could, you know, because I told her I had read the statistics, that age group was the fastest growing group to get online, to get on the social network. So I said, I know I can find those statistics. You know, that might help them feel a little bit better that more of their target audience might actually consume their information online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have some good information here, too, about, you know, how to appeal to the seniors and the boomers.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite images I've ever gotten to add on to presentation. They love that, too. They're like, oh, yeah, I can't believe you put that on there. That's so funny.
Well, it is funny. I mean, I love what you say here. Seniors can smell insincere messages.
Yeah. They're kind of like, you know, just cut to the chase and tell me what I need to know. I don't need the fluff and everything. So, you know, if you're going to present something to them online or just, you know, give them the facts, and that's sort of what that was about.
Well, and so seniors are more intuitive, and they're the ones who... What do I want to say? You know, they can feel, as you're saying, you know, they can smell the insincere messages. You're right. They don't want the fluff. They have a good sense of personality and values, and they can read it in the written word and photos and pictures as well as they can, you know, when they've got that first impression of a person.
Right. So it's like if your target demographic is really seniors, you don't need to be as, I wouldn't say as crafty, but you don't have to think of sort of ways to sort of pull people in and, you know, I don't want to say it in a negative way towards marketing people since I am one, but, you know, there's more of a sort of just be a resource and be informative and provide value that way instead of doing a whole bunch of, you know, things that you might see with another demographic, especially with regards to Facebook, like photo caption contests and, you know, favorite quotes of the day and tag yourself in pictures. You don't need to have all that. You just need to be informative.
And then you list here meaningless jargon. Do you think the seniors and that the boomers really don't understand, you know, today's, and social media has a lot of jargon to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think in last year as immersed into it as we are even, you know, not just seniors, but this is a rule for anybody. If, you know, your target audience, you know, it doesn't sit and do social media, then a lot of the language and terminology and things that people say and do online sound foreign to some people.
Mm-hmm.
So really have to be careful of what you say, and especially with, you know, Twitter and Facebook and marketing and, you know, where your prospects and your current customers are located, not just with sort of techie-type phrases and those sorts of things, but even, you know, jumping across language barriers and that sort of thing you have to think about too. So,
yeah. There's a lot of jargon. And I totally forgot about this picture that you used when we had all of our geek tools with us in Chicago.
We had
laptops and iPads and our phones and your iPad with your keyboard, which I now have an iPad with a keyboard. And I remember us getting ready to take this picture, and it was, well, how are we going to take it? Our phones and our iPads are on the table.
Yeah.
And how stupid. We looked at each other and said, I have a real camera.
I know.
Yeah, totally forgot.
A real camera.
Oh, yeah. I had a digital camera. It's like, we use the digital camera.
Well, it's funny because the group I was presenting to, they asked me, they're like, oh, that's, you know, that's a neat picture. And I said, well, it was for real. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, I'm like, no. We traveled with all of that. We were in Chicago. We didn't just say, hey, let's get all of our stuff out and put it on the table. I'm like, that's what we came prepared with.
That's right. We just took over that table and we're checking out all our devices. Yeah, traveling today, too. It's a really pain in the butt. You have to take the laptop out and put it in a bin when you go to the airport. You have to take the iPad out. It has to go in its separate bin. It's like,
I know. It means like six bins.
You do.
People behind you are fuming because you have the whole Radio Shack with you. And, you know.
Yeah, they don't understand why you must travel with all of this. You just have to.
Well, because if one thing dies, then you have to move on to the next, and you can't possibly not have a backup for your backup.
True. You have to have a backup. So, and I had this a little off topic a little bit, but I don't know if you ever saw that pen that I had posted on Pinterest. It's the outlet that has the USB.
I have that on one of my boards somewhere. I think that I think every house needs those.
We do, but they're really pricey right now. They're about $30. So my husband is watching it very closely. He said, Deb, I can buy an outlet cover for 59 cents. If you really need that $30 outlet because you need it in your office, I will get it. It's like, no, we can wait. It'll come down. But I really want a bunch of them because that's just too cool.
I mean, especially for me, for selling real estate, I think that would be like a really cool, it would make your house memorable if you're selling it and somebody walks in and you're like, you're at a house that has the outlet with the USB port.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would just be a really good resale feature nowadays. I mean, because I think more things plug in with USB now almost than they do regular, whatever you call the regular ones.
Yeah, but I could also see people coming to the house saying, what is that?
Yeah.
Of course, if they saw all the devices set up the way this picture shows on your slide, it's like they would totally understand that.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a geek that lives here.
Yeah. I can see that on the sign out front. A geek lives here. This could be your new home.
Now, there you go. I think there's a selling. This house is for geeks only.
There you go.
Oh.
Live here and geek it out.
Yeah, you too can geek it out. Okay. So now, in your presentation, you know, did you scare people when they said, wow, I don't want to turn into her? I don't want to have all these devices?
Well, they may have thought, you know, okay, that's a little much. But then some of them started, like, they saw all of it. And then when I explained it was two of us and it wasn't just me that had all of this stuff, and then they kind of started to think, you know, well, I have a phone and I have a laptop. And I have an iPad, and I would probably take all that with me, too. Then it was a little bit more bearable.
Okay, yeah. You didn't freak out. Of course, I'm sure you didn't tell them how we, or I gave them the restaurant waitress and said, please go charge my phone. I don't care where you take it. Just go charge it because I have to have it available. But now I also have that charger in my purse like you have so that I can charge it anytime.
I know. Yeah, yeah. I leave mine in my purse too. And now if I'm going to go meet somebody somewhere or whatever, most of my friends will say, do you have your charger with you? Can I bring my cord and plug in too? Yes, we can all plug in to my little port.
We can plug it in, yeah, because we, and there was a YouTube video posted today, and I think I put it on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page. Data doctors out of Arizona, they've just been producing some of the funniest videos that just cracks me up. This one they posted today was, you know, talking about how to minimize your battery use of your phones, because we forget about, you know, we're sucking the battery of the phones because they're bright, or we're letting Facebook and everything push messages to us, and like there's some settings that we can do to cut back on that. But
yeah,
we forget about that. And you'll have to go, if you haven't seen the Data Doctor's YouTube video yet about smartphone use in the bathrooms, you will you've got to go to their page. It's I did tell them, I said, I don't know, I think it's kind of over the top, but it's so funny. It is. It's a music video. It is so funny.
That's funny. I think I was talking about that with somebody the other day, and then I remembered at Brandcamp last year how they had them in the bathrooms, like QR codes in the bathrooms.
Right.
And I remember I went out and said something about it, and Tom said, oh, we put those in there. I said, oh, did people actually scan them? He's like, yeah, you'd be surprised. I was like, well, I don't know that I would be surprised, but it is nice to know, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure. Well, how many people tell you that, you know, they lost their phone in the toilet? It's like, really?
Yeah.
Why, guys? Why are you taking it in there?
I think a lot of those people are drunk at sporting games.
They could be. So what do you have here? You say social media appeals to many, if not all, of our natural human desires and motivations.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, and if you go to the next slide too, sort of the, I think it's 16 sort of human motivations, and you can kind of go through each one of them, and some of them, you know, are like the eating, whatever, but some of them actually fit, you know, they make sense. So, you know, you have the, you know, everybody needs everything to be liked, and everything gets promoted because it's like you have a higher page rank, you have a higher edge rank, you know, you get more likes. You know, it's all about the acceptance and the approval. And I think the curiosity, going back to the slide about the infomaniac, is because all of this information is available online and it's sort of like you know it's there, I think that sort of taunts people and, you know, drives people's curiosity to say, okay, I'm not sitting and reading my Facebook news feed, or I'm not on Twitter, or now I'm not on Pinterest, you know. There are things that I'm missing, and it's sort of like I need to go back to those sites to make, you know, to see what I missed and make sure I'm not missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just going down the line, a lot of those match with what sort of benefits you reap from participating and interacting with a lot of the social media channels. So I think one of the questions I get asked is, and I don't get asked as much now as I did, you know, 2 years ago, but, you know, why is social media so popular? It's because, you know, it fuels our need for lots of these different things, I think.
Yeah, and some of us have to be doing something all the time. I mean, that's me. I'm always on. I have to be doing multiple things at one time. Well, now I can do multiple things, but they don't have to be physical. You know,
right.
I can be sitting there having my coffee and checking Facebook and then, you know, I could be looking at Pinterest, or I can be on LinkedIn, or I could, you know, be updating a website. So I can do multiple things. And that, I think there's many of us today that are like that. It's,
yeah.
I can't focus on one thing. I don't know how.
I know. Like, I can't watch TV and not have my computer open doing something at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm feel like I'm wasting time if I'm not doing something else at the same time.
Right, right. No, I agree. You know, and well, and if you think, okay, so years ago, you're cleaning your house. I'm going to, you know, think about myself, cleaning my house. Well, while I was cleaning my house, there's not a whole lot you could do if you're sweeping and mopping the floor, but I might have my headset on and listening to radio. Or, you know, you got a kid in your arms, or, oh, you're cleaning, you're sweeping, but then you're putting other things away. So that's multitasking as well. It's just different today.
Yeah.
Definitely a multitasker.
Well, it's probably because we're, you know, used to sort of taking in so much information now all of the time. It's like when we're doing things that aren't eating up that much brain capacity, it's like we have more room in our brains now because we sort of stretched it to take in enough information. So, like, half of our brain is bored while the other half is doing something else. That's my take on it.
I like that. I like that philosophy. That works. Yes. So our brains are bigger today than they were in the 1800s.
Because it's stretched with all the information available to us that we've taken.
Right. And the exercise. You know, so I saw on one of your charts there is people do need to exercise your brain, and you do. Higher order of thinking. Okay. I'll buy that. Sounds like a good one.
Cool. All right. Good. I came up with something very philosophical, I feel like. Right. Well, we can skip all this Google Plus stuff, I think. I said I'm just totally, except for, I think the only thing that's keeping me hooked that makes me go post every now and then when the thought does cross my mind is for those search benefits that they, you know, for your content showing up in Google search results and that whole, you know, I think if that sort of, you know, carrot wasn't dangling in front of me, I think I would have just closed up shop and forgot about it altogether.
Yeah. Now you make me feel guilty. I know I'm going to be on there tomorrow trying to figure out, okay, what more, what am I missing? What should I be doing? What should I be doing with Google Plus? There's got to be a benefit there somewhere. I'll find it.
And then I still, when I do post there, it's like somebody likes or comments on something almost instantaneously. They know that there are people that are still using it.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't really found a way to keep myself interested in it and to make it, you know, lead to anything, I guess.
Yeah, valuable for you. I love the picture of this baby.
Oh, yeah.
A future of social media. And we've talked about this before, too, because we know we've exposed to kids. And how's that? Is it your niece? Nephew? Niece?
Niece.
Your niece. So, a couple months old now, right? Or just how old? A couple weeks old?
Almost 5 weeks.
Almost 5 weeks. Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's not tweeting yet.
But soon. But it's just totally amazing. You know, my grandson who's 19 months old, how he's just getting proficient at the swipe and knowing how to open and close icons and what icons and games he wants to play, because now he's being vocal too. He's verbal. So he sees Elmo, and he'll say, he calls it Momo. Momo. So, and he knows he wants to double-click on Elmo, and he wants to do that game, and he wants to look at the video. So it's just watching him grow and his skills grow into knowing what that activity does. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm stretching his brain.
There you go. See, he's going to be doing, like, 25 things at once, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because there was a guy that was training with me last week, and at the beginning of each training session, he would tell the group how he has a 5-year-old son, and that anytime like his son is doing something, he'll be like, "Dad, take a picture of this and put it on Facebook." Or, "Dad, did you get that on video so you can put it up on your Facebook?" I thought that was the cutest story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they know. It's like, yeah, that's there. What's that commercial of that mom that's showing her kid a YouTube video and saying, look at this, what this one's doing. And they got 5,000 likes. Can't you be creative like that, too?
I don't know. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, I'll have to pay attention to it and let you know which commercial it is. But it's hilarious. It's like, you know, this mom just really forcing her kid, go out there. Be innovative. I want more likes. So you have something here on crowdsourcing, and one of the things I've been reading Jeff Hazlett's book, the running the gauntlet. He cracks me up. But he doesn't call it crowdsourcing, and I do like his definition. He calls it friend sourcing. Because that's what you're doing when you're crowdsourcing things. You're tapping into your friends, and you're friend sourcing your information. It's like, you know what? I think he's right there.
Yeah, it's a couple of sites are here. I know one was just the first one here was for the publishers and the journalists I was talking to that you know, people can go there, you know, and just from shooting videos from their phones, or you know, they were the, you know, they were somewhere where something newsworthy happened, and they can go to the site and they can put it up there. And then, you know, people who work for these news outlets can go there and gather stories from all the people who are around the world who are sort of uploading the information first. And then the second one here is sort of I think I've actually shared this on Geek It Out before. It's a video site where you can go and you can get the embed code for free for video and all sorts of topics that may be relevant to, like, a blog post you're doing. So you can use it. But it's really just that, you know, now there is so much information out there. It's like, how do we bring it all together and make it useful almost? So what now can you do with the information that's already there to either repurpose it or make it? So I think that's why Pinterest is so popular. So I mean, all of these posts and pins that are coming in, you know, from blog posts and articles, and a lot of the times things that have been sort of sleeping on the web for a while now, and, you know, they're kind of resurfacing and now being reshared because people are just gathering them in a different way. So I think that was kind of neat for people to see.
Yeah, no, that you're right. I mean, I know if I'm starting to write a blog post or a paper or whatever it might be, and you start doing that research, I'll ask you, do you get sucked into this too? You can just continue to research and look and look and look and look. And it's like, okay, I need to stop, right? Because it's just, there's so much. There's so much available. It's not like when we were in high school, and I was in high school long before you were, where you go and you get, you know, the encyclopedia, or you just look at a couple of reference materials, and then you put together, you know, formulate your idea and your thoughts. Today, you could spend days before you even actually set pen to paper.
Well, I was, I don't know where I saw it the other day, but, you know, those, like, style guides for how you put together, like, a bibliography if you're writing a paper, you know, where you would put, you know, the author first and then the page number and all this kind of stuff. Well, now they're talking about adding how you're going to credit a tweet. And people are saying, like, what is the proper way if you're citing a tweet in a paper or something that you're writing? How are you going to do that? And are they going to now go through and sort of edit all of these style guides and publish books to include information coming through the social channels and what the proper way is to give credit to the source?
Yeah, I don't either, because I know I check it, and you know, how do you source it? And then, of course, you've got the whole conversations around Pinterest, because I do find myself going to Pinterest. Oh, I need a picture instead of going into Google Images or stock photos. Let me go see what I can find on Pinterest. And this is an issue. It's like, what do you do? Who do you source? Because you repen someone else who's repen somebody else who's repen somebody else. And it's a tough one.
I know. There's a lot of that copyright stuff going on. I've been seeing a lot of things on Pinterest where people saying, you know, if you don't change your policies, we're leaving Pinterest. I'm like, yeah, I feel bad for the people who are having their copyright stolen, but I don't know if I can leave.
Oh, yeah, I can't leave. And then what was the thing with Flickr?
It was like Flickr has now made it so that if you are posting pictures to Flickr, you can sort of disable the ability for people to pin them to Pinterest.
Right.
Then when they did that, they also somehow disabled or removed any images that people had previously pinned.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So I don't know. I didn't. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I see we're getting some grief that Geek It Out needs to come up here in a minute. So the slide that you have on 24 of Sheryl Sandberg. Now, today, wasn't today International Women's
End
Day? And I was thinking earlier, oh, who would I, you know, recognize? There's so many.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about social media. And then I started thinking about your presentation. It's like, I love that video of Cheryl when she did a presentation on sitting at the table. Couldn't think of it. You know, take you belong as a female. You belong at the table. So, I see that you have her here.
Yep. Yeah, she, this is right. She said this, something big was going on right around the time that I did this, and it answered the question that I do get a lot, you know, do I just kick everything else to the curb and say, well, all right, I'm just going to do Facebook and Twitter because that's what everybody says I need to do, and that's what everybody else is doing. And, you know, I wanted people to understand that, you know, I'm not ever saying, you know, go one way as opposed to the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you need to figure out a way to integrate the two. And if you can integrate the two, it's actually much stronger for both the digital and the traditional than if you try to do them separately or do one over the other.
Yep. And you threw Tasty Delight in here. And did you see where I stopped while I was in Nashville? I went through the corporate office and did a impromptu just drop in. I'm going to meet everybody in the corporate office because I've never really had a chance to talk to Jim Amos. And he was there. He was so polite and so friendly. But BJ was there as well.
Oh.
It's like, oh, BJ, I see you all the time. But I got to taste a March tasty treat that's coming out. Of course, it's green. And I got that first taste, and I can't tell you what flavor it is, but it was really pretty cool.
I was going to say, I saw that green, and I was trying to figure out what it would be.
Yeah, it was really good. It was pretty cool. So that was fun.
Yeah.
And Tasty does a great job with loyalty. And as you say here,
you know,
going beyond with social loyalty programs, and I think they certainly are the forefront of being able to do that, and people are following along.
Yeah, if I ever want to, like, wow people towards the end of my presentations, or sometimes even at the beginning about the sort of the possibilities, I like to use them as an example, because I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, BJ definitely comes up with some really creative ways and, you know, of what could happen and what actually is happening, and it's
mm-hmm.
not really, you know, this is going to happen. It's, well, if you were, you know, as on board as you should have been when everybody was telling you to be on board a year ago, you could have been this far ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, and not just with the social technology and the loyalty programs, but when you go into the Tasty stores, you know, the use of their iPads as kiosks. They're
mm-hmm.
the first ones that I saw do that, and you see them more often now. So it's not just the social media, it's how to use the technology. I love to see limo drivers at the airport who are holding an iPad with the name of their guest on there, that they've made it into some really cool art. I saw another one today at the Houston airport. It's like, yeah, man, you really stand out next to the guy that's holding a piece of paper with a red marker, you know, of, you know, Deb Evans' name on it. The guy next to him, I would want to go with the limo driver, the shuttle driver who's got the iPad, who's got my name and flowers or whatever. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, well, good presentation, good SlideShare presentation and explanation of how you delivered that demonstration to everybody. So, should we go into Geek It Out, or should we make Dana just hang?
I think I'm ready, especially because I wouldn't want him to miss it.
All right, I'll do the music real quick. Okay, stop it.
Okay. All right. Well, this one is sort of one of my new favorites to look at. It's friendsheet.com. FriendSheet.com. And it takes you hook it up to your Facebook, and it takes all of the images that either the pages that you have liked or your friends, and it puts it into a Pinterest style view. So you can share and like and comment on the images just as you would on Pinterest, but it's everything from Facebook.
Did Mary Smith do this today, or was it you that I saw? Somebody did this today.
I don't know. I was playing with it yesterday, but I don't think I shared it with anybody because I was going to hold out for Geek It Out.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. I just did it really quick. And it's, where are all these people? I'm going to have to look at that.
Yeah. So it's cool because, I was looking through when I found it. I think it was just like yesterday morning or maybe 2 days ago I read about this. And actually, I spent some time to go through it, and I definitely saw information that I'm glad I caught that I didn't see, you know, like when I was on Facebook the first time, or it didn't pop up in my news feed. I actually went through and commented. I was a little bit more interactive. I went through and commented on the descriptions and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Which is evidently just how I prefer to view things now.
Now, and I'm looking at some that I missed, you know, some postings that people had posted that I'm connected to. It's like, oh, I didn't see that. I have to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
Ah, huh. Kind of reminds me of, definitely Pinterest, but it makes me think of Flipboard, too.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't visited Flipboard in a while, and I like that app. Okay. Good. I like this.
The next one is mysocialstrand.com. So mysocialstrand.com. And this one, you also hook up to your Facebook, and it creates sort of an infographic of you and information that it pulls from your Facebook. So I created one yesterday, and let me see if I can get, if I don't know if there's a URL to it or not, but I really like the way it looks. It's very colorful. It tells you, you know, like how many days you've been alive. It tells you, you know, how many of your friends are, it breaks up your friends into different categories. It shows images, all sorts of things. And it was real simple. And it's actually evidently, it's brought to you by, I think it's a nonprofit called Be the Match, which is something, it's, I don't know.
Life-saving donors and patients in need of marrow transplants.
Yeah, so they created this to spread the word about that, which I also thought was a really neat tie-in with social media.
Yes, I love that. Okay, I'm going to hold on to that.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Okay. Huh.
Yep, so that's that. And then my friend sheet, my social strand. PinAQuote.com, PinAQuote.com. And this gives you a bookmarklet that you can drag to your bookmark bar. And then when you are out on the web, if you see something that's sort of quotable, or quote-worthy that somebody has said, or it's in a blog post, an article, all you do is highlight the text, and then you click the PinAQuote bookmarklet from your bookmark bar. And then you can put in who said it, and it sort of creates an image of that text that you can then tweet or share to Facebook or send to Pinterest.
Good Pinterest one. Very good. I love my Pinterest pen up at the top. Now I've added this one. Very cool. Well, thank you, AK. I hear the operators telling us that we have to go away.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. So thanks, everybody, that listened in. We'll be back next week. Same geek channel. Same geek time. Oh, and she's yelling at us some more. So have a good night. I'll talk to you later, AK, and I'll listen to your show. Are you still on tomorrow?
Yep, on tomorrow at 1.
Tomorrow, 1 Eastern, 12 Central, Ask AK on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.